Hopefully all of you have had a chance recently to see our newly restored corpus of Jesus on the cross. He used to just be the color of the wood in which he was carved, but now he has come to us in living color, much like the other new statues that came to us on All Saints Day. And when he is all just the color of wood, we can't see the color of blood and the suffering that he had to endure. And if you've seen the Passion of the Christ, then we can be pretty sure that he was much more bruised and bloody than what we see on that cross. But one of the biggest problems Jesus had when he was led out to the cross is that he was already dying. It was from the scourging. The scourging that Jesus had to endure was so violent that he was already bleeding out before he was led out to the cross. Usually people could live for weeks when they were tied to a cross, and plenty of insurrectionists against the Roman Empire had suffered that fate. But so great was the hatred of that crowd, so great was the blasphemy and charges of insurrection made against the Christ by the Sanhedrin, that Jesus was to be nailed to that cross. He would not last 3 hours upon it. But while he was hanging from that cross, every time he was going to speak, he had to inflate his lungs, raising up his diaphragm, putting further pressure on those nails through his wrists. He was suffocating, he was asphyxiating, he was struggling for every breath. And so anything that he said from the cross is critically important for our reflection, because it was killing him to say it. The last thing he says on the cross in the Gospel of Luke is, "Into your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit." And in saying that, the dying Jesus was quoting the book of Psalms, Psalm 31 to be precise. "Into your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit. I give my spirit." It was very important for him to say that, because he was letting us know that his life was not being taken from him. His life was not being taken from him by those who sentenced him to die, or even by those centurions who nailed him to that cross. Rather, Jesus was giving his life to God for you and for me as a gift, that our sins might be forgiven, and that the chains of sin, Satan, and death may be broken forever and for everyone. He was giving his life to God. "Into your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit." Psalm 31, Jesus fulfilling something that was written about him almost 1,000 years before he was hung on that cross. In the Passion narrative in Mark that we just recited, Jesus quotes Psalm 22, "My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Or as some translations say, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Psalm 22, also written almost 1,000 years before he was born. Those psalms were written by King David. King David, who was a shepherd before he became a king, was writing about Jesus, who was a king who believed himself to be a shepherd. And as Jesus went up to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday for a Passover like no other, and also for him, the last, they sang Hosanna to the Son of David, because Jesus is born of David's royal household, thanks to his foster father, Joseph, but also of the royal household of heaven, thanks to the power of God. Psalm 22, on its surface, if we only heard the refrain of the responsorial psalm sung just moments ago, my God, why have you abandoned me? It would almost sound as if Jesus on the cross was giving in to despair, a sin against hope. But if you read the psalm in its entirety, and as we heard most of the verses sung today, that is not a psalm of despair. It's a psalm of prophecy being fulfilled, but also of complete and total trust in God. In terms of prophecy being fulfilled, 1,000 years before Jesus was nailed to that cross, King David said, "They have pierced my hands and my feet, and for my garment they have cast lots." The same thing would happen to his distant relative, Jesus the Christ, on that cross, when surely with the hammer and those nails they did pierce his hands and his feet. And the only thing he owned by that point, his garment, yes, they didn't want to rip it, so they were going to cast lots for it. Prophecy being fulfilled. But also in terms of Psalm 22 being a statement of trust in the Lord, yes, it may begin, my God, why have you abandoned me? But by the end of it, you have to listen carefully or go back and read it later. Psalm 22, it was stating a total trust in God, that even in the darkest of times, a great light shines, that God has not lost sight of me. He sees what I'm going through. He's with me in my affliction. And even now, I will praise him, as will the people of all the nations. just as Jesus wasn't having his life taken from him. He was giving it to God in fulfillment to the one mission that God gave him to fulfill on this earth. So too, Jesus was fulfilling prophecy, fulfilling God's will, fulfilling God's prophetic word. But he was also letting us know that his darkest hour would become the hour of his great triumph, because God indeed had not abandoned him, and he was not going to abandon God's plan for our salvation. The abandonment, that was on our part. All of those that sat there at the Last Supper and said, "I will not deny you, surely it is not I, Lord," and then went and played exactly the part in that script that he told them they would, denying him before the cock crows, scattering to the winds and abandoning him, pretending that they do not know him. That's why it's a lonesome road to Calvary, but not this year, because we're going with him. In these coming days, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, leading up to Easter, we will walk that lonesome road with the Christ, carrying our crosses alongside him, so we can remind ourselves how much God loves us, that he loves us to death.